Hey, happy Thursday to you, and what a crowded sports schedule we got coming up. But first, it's Sports Look time. Welcome back, everybody. Sports Look brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's. Well, the upcoming sports schedule, I mean, it doesn't get much more upcoming than this, because basically, by the time we're done here with Sports Look, we're going to be joining you from Topeka, Kansas. The Hummer Athletic Facility in Topeka is Atchison Phoenix are going to be on the field tonight. We're going to be with them, Atchison and Highland Park, this evening, 7 o'clock game here on Care Radio. And then tomorrow, more high school football as it'll be. The county rivalry goes back, gosh, forever. Morehead Academy is at ACCHS, also a 7 o'clock ball game. As for the Ravens, a Saturday off, they and the entire conference with the bye week as they get ready to move into district play next week. Well, we'll talk about last week before we talk about next week. And Gus, last week around the Meadowlark, Atchison continues to play really well. The Phoenix, they've got some offense, rolled up 63 on Washington.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been the moral of the story all season for Atchison, right? You just roll up 48, 63, 77, 54, 63. I mean, and tonight I don't exactly see it going any differently. This Atchison offense is tough to slow down. They've got just too many pieces for a lot of teams to match up, right? Like, you want to slow down the run game, they're going to throw it out to Jeter. You try to slow down Jeter, they're going to throw it out to Jay-Z. You're going to try to shut down those two guys, they're just going to run the ball right at you. I mean, they've just got too many things. Yeah, I mean, they're going to run through this conference undefeated. They're going to finish the season undefeated and go into, postseason play in a very good spot, much like they were last year.
Yep, and Highland Park, the opponent here coming up in a little while on Care Radio, they traveled over to Missouri and fell to Lincoln Prep 57-6. Lincoln Prep, a good team.
Yeah, Lincoln Prep is a team who finds themselves now moving to 5-1 on the season. They do play one team kind of close to us. Like, they played Benton earlier this season and were able to sneak by Benton in overtime 23-20. So Lincoln Prep is a really good team. For Highland Park, they are a team who is probably not as good as they were last year, but again, doing pretty well this season to find themselves at 4-1.
And certainly area residents are familiar with Highland Park in so much as A, it is a new member to the Meadowlark League, but B, their head football coach, Jermaine Monroe, who played at Benedictine, head coached here in town at MHMA, and has now moved to the capital city. Other games in the conference, Sumner, a squeaker over Schlegel, 17-8, and it was a 40-14 win for Harmon over Wyandotte at home. In the NEKL last week, the Tigers back on the winning run, and they knocked off Pleasant Ridge 30-8. Troy, in a game you had here on K-Radio, got by Marhill Mount Academy, JCN. Gus, I knew they were going to be good. I mean, they're not good. They're really, really good. 66-0 over Oskaloosa last week.
Yeah, much like we talked about Atchison just a moment ago and the points that they're putting up, JCN's one of those teams who's scoring a lot of points this season, right? 62-0, 36-0, 36-34 over Waubunsee, 52-6, and then 66-0. So, and they're scoring a lot of points this season. They've only had one game that was close in that Waubunsee game that was 36-34, where they came from behind late to win it. Right now, Coach Schneider has that team playing really good football.
It was Centralia getting by Jackson Heights. The Cobras have been rolling along, but Centralia won that one 48-12. McLeod, it had to be a big one for them over Mission Valley, 26-21. St. Mary's, no trouble with Valley Falls, 60-6, and Minneapolis blanked Horton, 49-0. And coming up this, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think McLeod, who got the 26-21 victory over Mission Valley, they're one of those teams that has, they're kind of sneaky good right now. They're 4-1, but they're finding ways to win some close games. They won week one at Onega, 30-26. They beat Mission Valley last week, 26-21. I mean, those are two games that if they go the other way, all of a sudden you're sitting there and you're going, well, it's an okay year. You find ways to win those close games. All of a sudden, you do find yourself in a 4-1 position. You're 1-1 in your district and 2-1 in the Northeast Kansas League. Now, you're going to go to Valley Falls this week. And so, again, things looking good for the Bulldogs.
This weekend in the Middle Arc again, here at 7 o'clock, we're going to have Atchison at Highland Park on Care Radio. Friday night games will include Wyandotte at Washington, Eudora at Schlegel. Sumner goes across the state line to Casey Northeast, and it will be Kip Legacy traveling to Harmon. So you've got a full slate at the Middle Arc and the NEKL. Tomorrow night, Moorhill Mount Academy at Atchison County. St. Mary's will go to JC, and there's going to be a pretty good test, right?
Yeah, you would really think that that should be a good matchup. St. Mary's coming into that ball game. They're 2-3, but their three losses were the first three games of the season, right? They lost at Rossville 30-22. They lost at Rock Creek 32-6. And then they lost versus Silver Lake in week three 29-28. So, I mean, they were right there with Silver Lake. But then turned around and dispatched Oskaloosa and Valley Falls in the last 2 weeks. So St. Mary's is a team who's heating up right now.
Going to be some really interesting games, some good competitive games in the NEKL Friday. Also with Troy at Jackson Heights, McClouth at Valley Falls, Oskaloosa goes to Mission Valley, Horton at Riley County. Every one of those games is kind of a toss-up. And then Pleasant Ridge goes to Silver Lake.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's one of those games where, you know, Pleasant Ridge, we got to see them a couple weeks ago against Moorhill Mount Academy. They're a team who I think is just trying to get all the pieces moving forward with the new coaching staff. They looked good that week, struggled a little bit against ACCHS last week. But, again, listen to the end of the season right now for Pleasant Ridge. Like, it's probably one of the harder schedules that I've seen. At Silver Lake, home with Rossville, home with Centralia. I mean, that's a rough finish to the season. So, again, not that you can't win those games. They're just going to be, you know, big games to finish out the season.
And as the season's moving along, can you believe we're over halfway through now? And so, you know, you got to be thinking about maybe the leagues and the standings and stuff. And do you got those out there? Do you handy?
What you need?
League standings and stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe even at least the districts, just kind of how things are shaking out right now.
Yeah, so if we start off in district play. So, of course, if you're jumping into 4A because you're interested to see where Atchison kind of stands, there are only two teams on the east that are undefeated right now. Lewisburg at 5-0, Atchison at 5-0. Lewisburg will finish with Tonganoxie, Ottawa, and Spring Hill. So, I mean, it'll be tough to see Lewisburg drop any of those. Atchison, again, I don't see them dropping any of those. So, that'll be interesting. If you jump down to 2A and where are we at? 2A District 3, which has Silver Lake out on top, then Rossville at 1-1, ACCHS at 1-1, Pleasant Ridge at 1-1, Moorhill Mount Academy still looking for a win in district play. Jump down to Class 1A, where you'll find District 3, which has JCN out on top at 2-0, St. Mary's at 2-0. So that'll be a huge matchup on Friday night to see, you know, who is in the driver's seat of District 3. Mission Valley in third place with McClouth, both of those at 1-1. And then you've got Oskaloosa and Valley Falls looking for their first district win.
So, again, a lot of games in the conferences to get things decided, a lot of games going on around the country, around the state. Big games. So we need to be checking in on those. And, Gus, as we wrap up the high school football segment, we also have to talk about the fact that yesterday they had the big semi-annual or biannual, make a biannual meeting out in Salina, and districts are set for the next couple of years, and they've changed. And you know what? As I look at them, I'm not so sure. I don't like them.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely interesting, if nothing else. And I think for me, definitely when you think back to maybe even 10 years ago, I could have told you, oh, that's a 3A team, that's a 4A team, that's a 2A team. I struggle to do that right now because I feel like these teams bounce up and down so much. I mean, you have Moorhill Mount Academy all the way down to now a 1A team. ACCHS is a 2A team. And for me, I look at those two schools and I say they're similar size, but, you know, the state doesn't look at it that way. So taking a quick look at where the classifications go, and like a team like Donovan West, who has been 8-man, they're going to bounce back up to 11-man here next year. So taking a quick look at Class 1A, I think Class 1A District 2 is interesting. Mission Valley, Olpe, Rossville, Maranatha, Caraparavel, and Waubunsee. I think that's an interesting one, but I understand the geographical lasso being thrown on that one. District 3 in Class 1A next year will be Pleasant Ridge, Jackson Heights, McLouth, Onega, Valley Falls, JCN. District 4 will include Morehill Mount Academy, Centralia, Donovan West, Horton, Troy, Riverside. It blows my mind to see Riverside, who used to be kind of a 3A team, now all the way down to a 1A team as well. So then you jump up to Class 2A. ACCHS will be in District 4, where it'll be ACCHS, Royal Valley, Oskaloosa, Sabetha, Nemaha Central.
Yeah, with the exception of Oskaloosa, the big seven flavor going on there from the olden days.
Yeah, and to see Royal Valley down to a 2A kind of is a little awkward for me, I think.
Yeah, and by the way, so if you match up District 3 and 4, District 3 is going to have Council Grove, Osage City, Raleigh County, Silver Lake, St. Mary's, that kind of Flint Hills group out there.
If you jump up to Class 3A because you were interested to see, you know, what Holton and Hayden would do, they got Lasso back up together, right?
There you go.
And District 4 is going to have Hiawatha, Holton, Jeff West, Perry LeCompton, who must also co-op with Bishop Seabury.
Correct.
Okay.
In football. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Hayden.
So there you have it. New districts for next year.
And if you're wondering, Atchison's still on the east in 4A.
Yeah. If there was any question, you know, since they're like two blocks from the border.
Right, yeah. So
there you have it. New districts coming up next year. Lots of football coming up the rest of the season. And we're moving into the second half of the football season. That said, we got more things to do, more things to talk about. Sports Look continues right after this. Back with you here on Sports Look. And just last Saturday evening, we got a chance to move up into Central Iowa to see a little football. And tell you what we saw a game that was extremely close. I mean, that thing came down to the last possession of the evening. But Benedict, they're able to secure the third win of the year in a thrilling 10-7 fashion.
Didn't need a whole lot of light bulbs on the scoreboard Saturday night. As Benedictin scores with about 4 minutes left in the second quarter, so 4 minutes before the half, they score on a Jackson Dooley touchdown run of 7 yards. Coming into the game, Jackson had 4 carries for 8 yards, so he almost doubled his rushing with 1 carry. Harry Balke would kick a 33-yard field goal as time expired, and Benedictine wouldn't score again in that ball game, right? So they didn't score for 3 quarters and really only scored in the last 4:05 of the first half. But the defense, phenomenal, able to hold William Penn to that one score early in the second quarter, or the second half. 9:46 mark of the third quarter, William Penn goes down the field, they score in the first possession of the second half. At that point in the game, you felt like, okay, scoring is going to start to open up a little bit because it was the first drive of the second half. They went boom, 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 and score. And that was it, right? The rest of the game was kind of played between the 30s, 40s.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was kind of where we saw that. But when Benedictine needed to, they were able to hold the ball at the end of the game, take some time off the clock, and the defense with a huge stand right there at the end.
Oh, and the Raven defense has been great. It's been great all Saturday afternoon. They held William Penn to only 88 rushing yards, total of 223 on the afternoon. And the Raven defense, they saved the team because the offense turned it over 4 times.
Yeah, and they forced William Penn into 3 of 14 on fourth down, or third downs, right? 3 of 14 on third downs. William Penn coming into that ballgame was right at about 50%. They were the best third down conversion team in the conference. The Benedictine defense was able to shut them down. But when was the last time we saw a game where teams went for, and I'm talking college, a combined 9 fourth down attempts.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. And Benedictine, I mean, that shows you that Coach Osborne has lots of faith in his offense. They went 5 times on fourth down, converting only one of them. And Penn was 1 of 4 times that they ran it.
Yeah, and I think it also kind of goes back to prove that this game was played between the 30s, right? It was one of those things where you were never backed up far enough to really punt the football away all day, and you were just a little too far to try to attempt field goals. And so, yeah, I think both teams just said, let's roll the dice, see what happens.
Yeah, well, Colin Bruner, though, only punted twice for 100 yards. So, you know, you had to have a little room out in front of him. If you were across the 50, it was like hard to ask him to punt from there.
So
for the Ravens, again, a big day. And, man, Dominic Stone King, he stepped up between him and Jagger Blueball. Those guys, that linebacking corps for Benedictine, super strong. And, of course, the defensive front, we're going to hear in the next segment from one of the stalwarts of that defensive front, Isaac Anderson.
Yeah, and you look at the conference player of the week. I was a little surprised that Dalton Witherspoon didn't get a little more love for his effort. Dalton ran the ball 20 times for 171 yards. Now, I think the problem was not getting into the end zone. Probably, you know, guys look at the stat sheet, they're going to go quickly to the touchdowns. How many did you have? I think that was probably his only downfall. But again, 171 yards on 20 touches, 8.6 a carry is okay.
You're going to take that every day. Yeah. You can run the ball a lot if you can get 8 yards a carry, right?
Yeah.
So for Benedictine, again, this week is an open date. The entire conference will take the day off as they get ready to move into district play. No?
No. Somebody jumps out and plays the game.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Central Methodist is going to go to Olivet Nazarene and fill that game. So Benedictine played a week 1 or week 0 game, however you want to call it. But Central Methodist is going to fill the open week and say, let's go play Olivet Nazarene. Not really sure why, but I get it. And then next Thursday night, the conference will restart as Culver Stockton will be at Grandview. There's been a lot of Grandview Thursday night games, so I don't know if they have maybe Pee Wee football at the stadium on Saturday, so it bumps them to a Thursday night or something. Games that went on around the conference on Saturday: Baker beat Culver Stockton 38-7. It was Grandview over Central Methodist 65-0. Missouri Baptist getting their first conference win 31-13 over Clark. I think that was maybe a little surprising for me. Peru State handled Missouri Valley 48-31. How about this? In America, spoiling homecoming for Graceland, a 41-21 victor there at Huntsman Field at the Jenner Sports Complex.
So anyhow, yeah, you talked about the conference players of the week, and it was kind of surprising for me to see that you had a Grandview player. That's probably not a surprise, but again, I thought that maybe Benedictine would get a little more attention. You had Ashley Thompson, the defensive player of the week, and Cox was the special teams guy. Conference standings right now in the South. Well, there are 2 1-loss teams. Mid-America's 5-1. Baker's 4-1, Ravens 4-2, Valley's at 3-2, Central Methodist and Missouri Baptist at 1-4. There are no winless teams in the conference as we go to this turn. Grandview continues to be undefeated in the North at 5-0. Then it drops off precipitously, as you might have anticipated it was going to, as Graceland is on the skid now at 3-3. Penn is 2-3, Peru 2-4, and then Clark Culver 1-5.
Are you a little surprised Benedictine wins a close game?
It moves up.
And they move up a spot.
Yeah,
right?
No. At this point, I'm going to tell you, and then we'll move on. We've got Isaac Anderson. He's standing here looking to get going. We've got to talk to him. He's a great guy. But the Ravens right now are they're at the whim of the other teams. All right, you're around number 20. The only chance you got moving up is if the team above you, you know, is going to have to lose a game or two. And I don't care if the Ravens win every game the rest of the way by 70, they can't get to the top 10.
No, because the problem is the top 6 right now didn't move. And you jump up into the top 8 are undefeated. And then you've got 2 teams in the middle at 13 and 14 who are undefeated. Now, Dort cannot finish undefeated because they will still have to play Morningside and Northwestern. So,
yeah.
Dort's one of those teams that may be undefeated now. They won't make the playoffs, right? And so, it's, again, enjoy being 14. So, if you're Benedictine, you have to start looking at
where can I actually move up? Don't say, I can get to five, because you can't, no. Right? Because these teams just don't have tough enough schedules, right? They're not playing great teams from here on out.
And Benedictine's not playing teams ahead of them
from
here on out. And
that's the other problem, is you're not going to play many teams in front of you right now. So you're hoping a team like Evangel, who has to play Southwestern at the end of the season, you hope to get close enough to them so whoever falls below you. But again, it's going to be tough for the Ravens to move up a whole lot from here on out. Honestly, what, 14 is probably about, 13, 14 is about as high as you can go, just figuring that it's going to be tough to jump up.
I would take 13 right now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you said you're going to wrap it up after 11 at 13, I'm like, yes, please.
Yeah. So I think that you would. But for Benedictine, it's going to be a tough second half of the schedule. You've got to win the conference, and basically, you can't lose from here on out. Now that you're into your division games or the meat and potato type games, like, back against the wall, here we go.
Yep. Well, with that, Ravens getting a week extra to prep. We'll be with them, not this Saturday, but a week after when they get back to action. Taking a break. We're coming back. Isaac Anderson's here. He's looking forward to talking to you. I'm looking forward to that as well, and we hope you are also. We'll return. Sports Hub continues right after this. We're joined today by Isaac Anderson, D lineman for Benedictine football. Isaac, it is good to meet you, young man. How you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm all right. We got to start off with the Isaac bio, all right? Tell us a little bit about where you're from and home and all of that SoCal stuff.
Well, I'm originally from Southern California, San Diego, specifically Northern County. Out of high school, I went to Mission Hills. Out of high school, I went to Western State, Colorado, in Gunnison, up in the mountains. I was there for 2 years, undeclared, and then I decided to come here, Benedictine, because I had a couple of coaches here. One was a former player that I played with, and one was my former receivers coach in high school. And so I kind of had some family that was already here, so it kind of made it easier transition to come here. But I have one brother, one mom, a small family, very tight-knit family. I'm religious, but I'm not super religious, but
yeah. Well, tell me about, okay, you got a brother, younger brother? Mm-hmm.
Older brother.
Was he athletic too?
Was he a
player?
Yeah, so he played defensive line as well. He went out of high school to Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas. Played there for about a year and a half, and then he decided to step away from football and just get healthy and kind of cut down weight. So,
now, let's talk about your high school team. Were you guys good?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're pretty good. My junior year, we were ranked nationally and in the state, so we had a pretty good team that year.
Okay. So there were probably teammates that you had that went on to play at some schools. Anybody you might have heard of or anybody that you might know of?
So I played with Jack Tuttle. He went to Utah and then Indiana, and now he's at Michigan. And then Chris Olave, who went to Ohio State, and now he's playing for New Orleans Saints. Fred Warner also went there when he was there at his time. Those are the only three guys, like big guys that I can think of right now.
Okay. So you go from SoCal to the mountains of Gunnison. Now, how did you decide Gunnison was your first stop?
Well, really it was opportunity. So coming out of high school, I wasn't like a huge name recruit, so I kind of just took the opportunities that were given to me. That was probably the best offer I had at the time, so I took it. I liked the D-line coach. I liked the D staff. I liked the way they showed me how I'd be involved and how their scheme would fit me.
Okay, so you people around here, and I'm the most guilty one, I complain about the distance that we have to travel, you know, some of the long trips. When we go to Dubuque, that's got a pretty long trip, but, you know, for you, playing out of Western Colorado, those are nothing because, man, you put on miles from that team.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of got used to traveling a lot on the road, being on the road.
So were you in buses? Because you were going to New Mexico. You were going to the Dakotas. Yeah, I mean, literally 1,000-mile trip.
Yeah, so we'd always take buses, never flying. So you definitely had to get used to those long bus rides with your teammates, the camaraderie, just building chemistry with the teammates on the road and the coaching staff. It kind of really helps you build the memories, you know, that you're going to take forever.
Still got some pals from Mountaineers?
Oh, for sure, definitely. Still got some pals. Still keep in touch with, love all the guys over there. It was sad to go, but I had to make a decision that was best for me and my family, so need to do it.
Okay, so you moved from there to here, and you said that you followed a couple of coaches and a couple of friends. So how tough was that? I mean, what was it that gave you that final nudge and said, okay, you know, I could stay here and I'm comfortable, but I'm gonna make a move. How'd that come about for you?
Well, for me, it was more so like the family aspect, like the people that I knew in high school and my coaches. I consider them family, so them being here and be able to give me like good advice of what I'm getting into kind of helped me understand, okay, I know what I'm getting into, I'm still going to be able to play football, get my degree, I still play at a high level, so that was part of my main focus, just be able to still play football, because obviously I had the stereotype of, if you're not Division I, Division II, it's not good football, but that's obviously wrong, because I built a came here and I was obviously still play good football.
Okay, so let's talk about you first came to Benedictine. Did you come here before you put your name on the line and look the place over and make a visit first?
Yeah, so I came here in February of 2020 and to take a visit. That was my first visit, and I decided to commit on my visit because of like how I like the environment, the school, the aspect of the coaches and what they had to provide for me.
Okay, so what was sold you besides the coaches? Was there something about the school, the town, the campus? Was there anything like that that you just said, man, I like it?
I think mainly just the mission, because I'm a big football guy, so the mission of what our goal was to achieve before at least I graduate was to win a national championship, and that's always the goal every year. I think it was just putting the pieces together every year since I've been here. Last 3 years, going on my third year now, so I feel like we have all the pieces we really need, and we just need to put it together.
And Coach Osborne, he's a guy who's meticulous and attention to detail, and he's a guy who strives to win, so that's got to feel good.
Oh, yeah, it does. It definitely does, especially when the helm of the ship is someone that everyone can respond to. You know, his mentality, the way he goes about every day, every week, it's something that everyone can get behind and kind of makes you want to run through a wall for him.
Okay, Isaac Anderson's joining us here. And now, Isaac, most important, football is great. Let's talk about the academics. You mentioned earlier you were undeclared when you were in Western Colorado. Have you chosen something? Tell me about the schooling part.
So I decided to declare 2 years ago. I picked exercise science. So I'm a double major in coaching and strength and conditioning, mainly because I personally want to stay involved in the game of football, and I want to be able to become a D-line coach down the road and or a strength coach. Just depends on what I feel more drawn to, I guess. So yeah, I'm right now just exercise science major, finishing up my last two semesters, and then I'm going to pursue my master's. I'm trying to get a GA somewhere, and then start my career, hopefully.
So you're on track. It's a May graduation for you.
Yes, sir.
Good man. On the schedule here.
Yes, sir.
Now, so where would you like to go? I mean, year or two, 3 years from now, tell me where you'd like to be. Have you got any like long range plan? I would like to be here, because you've been through the west half of the country. You looking east side, or you like where you're at?
I mean, I wouldn't mind going to the East Coast. Honestly, I'm big in taking opportunities that come to me. I try not to be picky in the opportunities, because you know beggars can't be choosers. And the biggest thing that I learned was going from California to Colorado to Kansas is, I take that like leap of faith of like, it might be a little bit different. You're not going to know anybody, but it's going to be a good thing, you know, because it's going to help you branch out, kind of build more connections and help you like evolve as a person. So, I mean, I personally would like to see myself at a Division I, DAA, D2, any level of college football, and being on a staff and be able to hopefully be on the paid staff.
On a traveling note, have you traveled the country quite a bit, or has it been mostly western half, or have you seen a lot of it?
I've seen a good amount of states. I don't know if maybe like 10%, maybe 5% of the states. Nothing too crazy, but I've seen a good amount of states, east, west coast. I think mainly just like southeast, not too much northeast. But mainly that's probably as far as I've gone. Mainly south, sometimes a little north on the west side. But
tell me about this defensive group. I look out there and you got a lot of talented guys. I mean, is it as tight knit? Is it to feel like I think it is like that?
Oh, it definitely is. Like, we have a lot of guys, especially young guys that have played now for a year or two and are ready to take that leadership role and kind of take over the team. Everyone's willing, everyone's able to communicate with each other the way we need to. There's not as last year or 2 years ago, there was a lot more arguing with amongst players when certain people would call out other players. Now it's kind of just disappeared because everyone respects what they have to say and whether it's good or bad.
Right. And yet, I have to assume that there are those leaders on the unit who will say, hey, you know, I need you to do this or whatever, mm-hmm. but you take it in a different manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you kind of got to take it with a grain of salt. Like, it's not always the thing you want to hear, but sometimes it's what you need to hear. And I feel like that's a big step with what our team has grown to, because everyone's willing to take that grain of salt and kind of move forward with it instead of just letting it affect them personally and take it as like a personal attack instead of, oh, I'm trying to help you. I care about you. I love you, you know?
Isaac Anderson's with us. Isaac, I know you're busy. You got a full load of school. You talk about, you know, with the look for 2 degrees and mm-hmm. football takes a lot of time. Maybe you have a spare minute. What kind of things do you do? What kind of hobbies you got? What do you do in your own time?
Personally, I'm a big FIFA guy. I like to play FIFA.
There you go.
Games. I
ask guys, you know, what video games they play.
Yeah.
I can't, and again, I'm not a huge soccer guy.
Yeah.
I don't get how so many football guys love the FIFA game.
See, I have one of my best friends, he's a soccer player, and he's been a soccer player his whole life, and I honestly don't like soccer, but recently, the last couple of years, I've been getting more into it, and I love it now. Honestly, I can watch it, I can play it, I play it all the time in my video game. That and 2K, you know, if anybody needs to work, I'm here.
Are you good? Are you any good?
Yes, sir. I mean, I'll play anybody. No one wants to play me in FIFA. They know I'm good at FIFA. No one wants to play me in FIFA. But people will challenge me in 2K and Madden, which, understandable, everyone's going to be good. But that FIFA, I feel like I'm pretty good.
What other hobbies do you have? Do you build things? Are you a woodwork guy? Do you like to, you know, to movie watch? I mean, any other hobbies that you have personally?
I mean, I don't know about as much as probably video games, because I'm not much of a big, like, I'm very, like, a indoors kind of guy. Like, I kind of just like to be myself, kind of just relax.
Watch a little TV?
Yeah,
movies? Any
probably
of that
movies,
TV?
Yeah, probably a movie guy. I'll probably binge watch movies all day.
Top 2 or 3 movies for you? Favorites?
Oh, man.
Ones that you can watch, like, 3 times
okay.
in a row, practically.
Okay. I can go Forrest Gump anytime.
Yeah.
Any movie from the Avengers series, and then the Justice League by, I think it was Dan Schneider. I think he directed that. It's like a 4-hour movie. I can watch it every time. I can watch it every day, 24/7. I don't know why, but I can watch that movie all the time.
Love it. Okay, do you have any, like, skills that we don't know? I mean, do you play music? Do you, do you sing? Do you, is there any, do you have like any hidden talents that we don't get to see out on a football field?
That's a great question. I mean, when I used to be able to play the saxophone, I used to play guitar.
There you go.
I kind of grew out of it a little bit because I started getting more consumed with sports, and I would kind of just focus more on sports. I did wish I kept playing saxophone and the guitar, but probably photography. That's like a little passion I have.
Yeah.
I don't do it all the time, but when I have time, sometimes I'll go and just take pictures of random stuff, just do for fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say that we're in the off season, and mm-hmm. and I happen to be in SoCal and bump into you, you know, and you're like, say, we're gonna go out. Where are you going to take me? I mean, look at me. I love some food. I think that we probably both like a good meal.
Of course.
Where are you going to take me in around home? And what is like the best meal on the menu? Favorite place to go dine? Do you have one?
I would say, so it's this little restaurant. It's not a chain or anything. It's just one restaurant. And it's called Money Pit. And it's in San Marcos, California. And it's right down the street from my high school, like maybe a minute or two. And honestly, get anything on the menu. It is delicious. But one thing you have to get is fries and a shake with it. They got avocado burgers. They got burgers. They got sandwiches. They have breakfast, whatever you want. And it's nothing too crazy, but it's just like, it just has its own unique, like, to it, and I love it. I miss it so much. I've been able to have it, I'm thinking, like 3-4 years, something like that. And oh, man, it's getting me hungry.
So next time you're home,
That's the first spot. And then if you want something sweet, Peterson Donut Corner. It's in Escondido, California. It is delicious. It's kind of deep in Escondido, so be careful. But It's right on the corner. You can't miss it. Fresh donuts if you go at the right time. They're great people, great prices, like super cheap, and delicious donuts. They're huge. Like, they're literally the size of your forearms. It's crazy.
And by the way, for people listening, Isaac's got real big forearms. Okay, he's a big man.
They're big. I'm trying. And the burritos are literally the size of your forearm. They're huge and like $7. Like, oh, you can't beat it.
Love it. Isaac Anderson, one last question. This is the hardest question I'm going to ask. It's going to take probably the most thought of anything that I've asked you so far. Which do you pick? Superman, Batman, Spider-Man?
Superman.
Wow, that didn't take long.
That's easy.
Why is it Superman?
Superman, I mean, what can't he do? He can do everything. He is the ultimate superhero. He was born. He was not made.
There you go. I love it. Isaac Anderson, it's been a joy to talk to you. I wish you continued success, and go Ravens, man.
Go Ravens.
Back with you here on Sports Look on a Thursday evening. High school football coming up shortly here on K-Radio. A 7 o'clock kickoff will be with Atchison at Highland Park. Got the Kansas City Chiefs. Man, they did not make it look easy. You kind of worried about them a couple of times in the middle of it, but when it's all said and done, the W is all that matters as they prevail over the Jets 23-20 last week.
Yeah, they sometimes make easy things look hard, right? It's one of those things where you jump out 17-0, you're starting to feel pretty good, and then you give up the safety, and then they come down and score, and all of a sudden it's 17-9, and the Jets were right back in it. But how about that Chiefs offense, right? When they need to, they were able to win that game. I think I saw, did they keep the ball 17 of the last 19 minutes of the game? And that's just one of those things. If you have an offense that's able to do that, where you get first downs, but you don't have to get too much, you can't beat that team, right? That is a team who understands how to win. And that's why so many times we talk about on our broadcasts in various games, the team that can hold on to the football at the end of the game, go into that 4-minute drive, 5-minute drive that we kind of talk about, those are the teams that win championships. It's because you know how to win, you know how to keep the ball away from the opponent. They can't win the game without touching the football again, and the Chiefs do a great job of it.
And again, you know, and that mindset, that philosophy transfers to every level of football, and we're going to flash back again to Benedict, and you're able to hold a drive in the last 4 minutes of the game, and you're undefeated.
You're undefeated right now.
Yes.
Yep.
So, got to be able to do that, and it was I think it was a classy move. Tell me what you think. Mahomes did not score.
I didn't have a problem with it either way. I understand what you're doing right there because you're just saying, okay, game's over. I mean, you don't have to run a special teams out there and kick a PAT. You don't have to kick the ball off. You don't have to put your defense out there. That's at least three more plays, maybe 3 to 5 more plays where there's a chance somebody gets hurt, right? And in the NFL, people get hurt. Ask Aaron Rodgers, 4 plays in, right? So the fewer times you have to put those guys out there, the better. So, yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, sure, it was probably the right move for him to slide. I get it that a lot of people in the desert may like it, may not like it, but it probably at the end of the day was the right move.
No question. And then the Kansas City Chiefs are going to relive the 1970 Super Bowl. I remember it clearly. Joe Capp, the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings against Lenny Dawson. Well, neither of them is playing in this game. It's going to be now the Chiefs and the Vikings Sunday. And you know what? Kirk Cousins, he, because of the quarterback one program, he's become kind of a darling around the country. So he and Mahomes, two of the stars of that program, are getting together here. People love both of these guys.
Yeah. You know, Kirk Cousins has become a very likable guy after that because you realize, just a real guy.
Right? Regular guy.
Like he's going to walk away from that game. He's going to go home, and it's just a normal day for him.
Yeah,
right?
Do some laundry, you know, play with the kids.
I think that program really did help Kirk Cousins. Now, I will tell you, the Vikings have struggled a little bit out the gate, but again, coming back, winning their game on Sunday made a huge difference at where they are right now. But Kirk Cousins, in the final year of his deal, is a guy who wouldn't be shocked if the Vikings, you know, if they stumble anymore, don't look to try to get some compensation out of him. This Vikings team has two big receivers. They're going to be a handful for Kansas City on Sunday.
Yep. It's a 325 ball game, going to be seen almost in the entire nation. And Chiefs at the Vikings, 325, Kansas City, a four-point favorite, and that's fair.
You speak of the Chiefs being a game that everybody's going to see. It's a good thing tonight's game's on Amazon Prime because nobody wants to watch it. I'm not even sure people in those areas want to watch this game.
Yeah, Bears at Commanders, the winless Bears at the Commanders, who are also 2-2. And, man, there are a couple of really unhappy fan bases. I guess the good news is for one of them's going to win the game.
Yeah, somebody's got to win, right? Yeah. Because if you look at the Bears, they should have beat the Broncos the other day. They had a misjudgment, if you will, late in the ball game. Eberflus ends up losing that game. And when it's all said and done, these two are really bad teams. I think the Commanders probably win it, but again, everybody's going to wake up tomorrow and go, oh, yeah, there was a football game. I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah, well, again, Bears-Commanders is the game on Thursday night. Sunday morning, okay, we're talking, got to get up early to watch the Bills and the Jets. That's going to be a really good game in London.
Yeah, so the Bills are a 5.5-point favorite in that thing, but I don't get it, right? Because Jacksonville played over there last week and then just stayed, right? So they didn't have the travel. The Bills do have the travel. This is a home game basically for Jacksonville, who has played a lot of games over in London over the years. I'm telling you, I don't see the Bills coming away with a win in this game.
Big noon game. Ravens are going to be at the Steelers, and you got I don't know. I think that's got to be a pretty good one, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think points are going to be at a premium, right? 38 points is the over-under in it. The Steelers right now are a team who, they do this every year. They come out, they struggle a little bit, they look okay at times, but they're not just running away from teams. But somehow they find themselves in the playoffs every year. I think that the Steelers, though, are going to struggle with the Ravens on Sunday.
Now, the big game, besides the Chiefs game, that's a 325 game, one of the two of those. The Jets-Broncos is the other 325 game, of course. The night game, this is going to pit two teams that have national championship aspirations, and rightly so. The Cowboys 3-1, the 49ers 4-0. They both need this win.
Yeah, this will be a game I'll probably actually stay up and watch most all of it. I think that you hit a home run, right? You got two teams that are playing decent enough football. The Cowboys are going to go back and look at that Arizona game and say, man, we'd like to have that back. And right now, the 49ers, nobody seems like they can slow down Christian McCaffrey. What do you have, 4 touchdowns in their last game? He has been a stud. I think this should be a fun game, and we're going to learn a lot about Brock Purdy in San Francisco. We're also going to learn if Mike McCarthy's team has been able to get over that hump that is, you know, being good enough to be the top team in the NFC.
This weekend's Monday night game pits the Packers and the Raiders, a game that I think that when they made the schedule, they thought it was going to be pretty good, but as things have shaken out, it's not. Packers are 2-2, the Raiders are 1-3, and it's going to be in Vegas. And, you know, the most expensive ticket in the NFL, you think people are still going to buy that ticket to go to this thing?
Yeah, because, again, people like going to Vegas. People are going to be interested in it to an extent. Yeah, it doesn't do much for me, but it's one of those things where if the Packers can beat the Raiders, I always like seeing, you know, Las Vegas lose.
And if you're a fan of the Browns, Chargers, Seahawks, or Buccaneers, you get the week off. They are the 4 bye teams this week.
Isn't it crazy that we're already getting into bye week?
Hey, what's crazy is that Big 12 football is going to include, again, some new teams, as you're going to have Kansas at home Saturday afternoon with UCF. It is a 3 o'clock game again on Saturday, and Kansas is a favorite at home.
Yeah, Kansas is a favorite. It'll be interesting to see what happens at the quarterback position, right? Everybody thought Jalen Daniels was going to play against Texas. He didn't. Bean played okay. I mean, maybe well enough, but again, when you don't catch passes, you don't beat really good teams on the road. Kansas struggled against Texas late in that ballgame.
Kansas State is going to go to Oklahoma State. They are a prohibitive favorite Friday night.
Yeah, it's a Friday night. Yeah, Friday night game. I think Kansas State probably coming off that bye, figures out some things, and has no problems with Oklahoma State.
Probably the biggest game in the conference, not probably, clearly the biggest game in the conference is going to be the two teams that are not going to play together in this conference. Ever again, it'll be Oklahoma at Texas, Saturday morning, 11 o'clock.
You glad it's in the Cotton Bowl?
Yeah.
I mean, just for nostalgia.
For old time's sake.
Yeah, That should be one of those games that a lot of people have circled on their thing. I just don't think Oklahoma's there yet. I think Texas probably routes them in that one.
You got Kentucky, nationally ranked at number 20, is going to go to number 1 Georgia. Georgia's not impressing me any.
No.
They could lose this game, yeah. I mean, although it's at home, so it's going to help them. But they're a huge favorite, and I don't see that.
Yeah, it's one of those things where Georgia has just snuck by teams, right? They've struggled in games. I think against Auburn the other day, it was, you know, they were maybe even trailing in the fourth quarter. They don't look like the number 1 team in the country right now, but when it's all said and done, they'll be fine.
And finally, you're going to have Missouri at home with LSU as the SEC rolls along. Hey, we got to take a quick look at the upcoming sports schedule again. Here in a little bit, 7 o'clock tonight, it'll be Atchison at Highland Park here on Care Radio. As a Meadowlark plays a Thursday night game in Topeka. Join Gus and me for that at 7. Tomorrow night, we're going to go to Effingham, where it'll be Marham Mount Academy at ACCHS, also a 7 o'clock game. And Saturday, bye week for the Ravens. BC has an open date Saturday. Want to thank Isaac Anderson for joining us. Hope you enjoyed our conversation with him. Want to thank also our important Sportlook sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's. Till we greet you from Topeka very shortly with high school football. For Gus Couch, Tom Couch. So long, everybody.